If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Amateur Traveler, episode 407. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about mountains and glaciers and wildlife as we go to Montana. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into today's interview, I do have two news stories for you. We learned recently that the incident that we had where a plane landed at the wrong airport in the U.S. is actually not all that uncommon. At least, it almost happens several times. A new report by the FAA mentioned, for instance, that one of the trouble spots is my home airport of San Jose, California, where six different pilots have tried to land at a nearby civilian military airport, Moffett Field. Perhaps they just need bigger signs on these airports. A new feature from Royal Caribbean: if you happen to book late and can't get one of those balcony staterooms, you can get a virtual balcony. And this is a stateroom that has an 80-inch floor-to-ceiling HD display framed to look like an actual balcony window. For links to both those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'm again going to be my own sponsor of this episode. If you're interested in getting a new credit card for travel, check out amateurtraveler.com/credit card. Specifically, I'd recommend looking for two things. One is a card if you're planning on traveling outside the U.S. with no foreign transaction fees. That means you don't get an extra charge to convert the currency into dollars. And then the other thing is a smart chip. We were stuck one time at Charles de Gaulle Airport because it was after 9 o'clock when we flew in, and the only way to get a ticket on the train would have been to have one of those credit cards, and we didn't, so we had to pay for a taxi ride. So amateurtraveler.com/credit card. I'd like to welcome to the show Donna Hull, who's a freelance journalist and publisher of myitchytravelfeet.com. And Donna has come to talk to us about Montana. Donna, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Donna, you live in Montana now, but are not originally from there.
No, I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia, and I came to Montana by way of Arizona.
Okay. And what led you to Montana?
In 2001, my husband and I took a national park tour that included Yellowstone and Glacier National Parks. And we drove across Montana and fell in love with the scenery and kept telling ourselves that we would come back and explore some more. And as we lived longer in Tucson, it got hotter and hotter in the summer. So in 2010, we traveled to Montana for 3 weeks to see if maybe we could find a second place to live, to get out of the heat, and also just to explore the area.
And I should ask, do you live there year-round? Because it's easy to get out of the heat there in the summer, but the winter, you're also way, way out of the heat, as I recall.
Well, that's true. Although we live in the Bitterroot Valley, which is considered the banana belt of Montana, which is sort of a laugh, you're right. But what happened is we did end up in 2010 finding a place to live, and we loved it so much that the first summer that we lived here, we didn't want to go home. We didn't want to go back to Arizona. So we sold our house in Tucson, and we have now been living here permanently for 2 years.
Interesting. And could you put the Bitterroot Valley on the map for us?
The Bitterroot Valley is on the very western edge of Montana. And in fact, I look at the Bitterroot Mountains, and the Bitterroot Mountains at the crest, that's Idaho.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're sort of the northern portion of Montana and also the very far western.
And for people who can't picture Montana, the fourth largest state, if I've got it correctly, in the United States, the western edge where you live is mountains and the eastern edge is just completely flat. We're talking about grasslands and the eastern edge. And we won't be talking about that as much on this episode.
Correct. That's true. And it is the fourth largest state. And also, it's one of the least populated. We have only 1 million, a little over 1 million residents in the entire state of Montana.
So quite a bit different from where I live out in California. So why would you recommend someone go to Montana? And what kind of itinerary would you recommend?
Well, I think you should come to Montana for the scenery. It is just absolutely outstanding. And of course, along with outstanding outdoor scenery, especially in the mountains, there are a lot of outdoor activities to participate in, wildlife watching. But beyond that, there's the Western heritage that's here, including Lewis and Clark, and then just some great off the beaten path travel experiences.
Okay. And starting with the scenery, if I come to Montana, where should I start and what should I see if I had, say, a week to visit Montana, just Western Montana?
Well, obviously, you need to start with Glacier National Park. It is one of the most beautiful national parks in the United States, in my opinion. And even though there are very few glaciers left, it's got rugged mountains. There's the Going to the Sun Road, which means that you can drive through the park and up through the mountains without getting out of your car, although I don't recommend that. I think to really experience any place, you need to get out and be on foot. But Glacier is, if you're only coming for a week, you should really come to Glacier National Park. Maybe fly into Missoula, rent a car, and drive up from there, which is about two to three hours.
And a lot of people have probably never heard Missoula, but they may have seen it in A River Runs Through It in Robert Redford's movie, for instance, featured that area.
That's true. That's true. And we have a lot of rivers like that that are just wonderful for fly fishing.
Well, and I'm not a fly fisher, but I used to fish with my father, and one of the reasons we went to that part of Montana was exactly that. So, starting Glacier, flying to Missoula, where do we go next?
Well, I think what you would do is come up to Glacier from the western edge, so you're coming into what they call West Glacier. Maybe before you get to West Glacier, you would drive into Kalispell. That's a funky little western town if you need some cowboy boots. That's where you should buy them. Drive on up to Whitefish. That is a ski area in the wintertime, but just a nice little town. And then from there, drive over to West Glacier. Stay a day or two in that, and then drive the Going to the Sun Road across to the east side of Glacier. And if you have time, I really recommend going up into Mini Glacier. That's also on the east side. You come out the east side of Glacier and go up the road a little and turn back into the park. And there's a beautiful old historic lodge that was built by the railroad and wonderful hiking trails. But it's hard to get into. You have to, it's one of the national park lodging facilities. So you have to probably book it close to a year ahead if you want prime time. But then from there, you would go back south and sort of circle back to the west from the east along the edge of Glacier, and then you've made a circle and you come back and go to Missoula. And while you're in Missoula, you should check out the breweries because Montana has the second largest craft brewery industry in the United States. And so you're going to find a lot of good handcrafted brews.
And then you also mentioned doing this in terms of, it sounds like you're talking about a summer itinerary. So is summer the time that you recommend for going to Montana?
It depends on if you like summer or winter. You're right. I did describe a summer itinerary. Certainly, you can't drive the Going to the Sun Road in the winter because it's closed. It closes when the first snow comes about October. That doesn't mean you can't go to Glacier or other areas of Western Montana and enjoy some snow. And you don't necessarily have to go to ski slopes. We have some great areas where you can cross-country ski and snowshoe or perhaps go on a snowmobile excursion with an outfitter. Even dog sleds. We have dog sleds here, too.
And you say great areas. Can you name a couple of places you would recommend if I wanted to snowshoe or do a snowmobile experience?
Absolutely. My husband and I like to go up Highway 12, and that goes to the border of Idaho and Montana. It's called Lolo Pass. It's where Lewis and Clark, finally found their way across the mountains to get over to the Columbia River. And there's a recreational area there with a $5 day use fee. They groom separate trails for snowshoes, cross-country skiing, and then the snowmobilers use the forest roads.
And if I'm coming from out of state and didn't pack my snowmobile, can I rent one or learn how to use one for those of us who grew up in warmer climates? Or
I think it's a little harder. We're not that much of a tourist infrastructure when it comes to that sort of thing, but I would check in Missoula first and see if there's an outfitter that would bring you there. You might be able to snowmobile easier up at Whitefish. That is more of a tourist destination in the winter, so there are outfitters up there who do take you into the forest.
Okay. And in terms of time of year, is there one particular day you wish everybody could be in Montana, in western Montana, on that day?
If I were going to bring someone to Montana for one day, I would bring them to the Western Heritage Festival in Stevensville because they have a parade that goes down Main Street, and then they have a chuck wagon cook-off. You can actually pay extra, and the parade is free, but you can go to the chuck wagon cook-off and pay a fee and eat dinner just the way they cooked it coming across the prairie.
And a chuck wagon cook-off is like a chili cook-off? I mean, it's the sort of thing where people are competing and you are benefiting from the competition?
Yes, they do compete. They bring in their Conestoga wagons, but everyone has to cook sort of the same. It would be an authentic meal that you would have had on the prairie. So there'll be beans and cornbread and some type of beef stew, and they do compete.
Excellent. And are there other festivities that are going on along that same day?
There's usually some sidewalk vendors, and there will probably be some type of celebration down at St. Mary's Mission, which is the first mission in Montana. Stevensville was also the first developed community in Montana.
Oh, interesting. I'm surprised that it was that far west that there was a first community. I would have thought it would have been closer to the rest of the U.S.
What happened was the Salish Indians wanted some Catholic priest to start a mission. And so they went to St. Louis and they found some priest who came back. And one of the priests was named Father Damien, and he was like a Renaissance man. And so not only did he help develop the mission, but he helped with their medical needs and some agriculture and just helped develop the entire valley.
Interesting. That's a very different story than some of the stories out here of the missions in the West. What else would you recommend? I interrupted you in the middle of your itinerary as you were taking us around Montana. Are there more places that you would recommend in that itinerary? Let's get back to that for a second.
Well, we were talking about a week's itinerary, and I think it's hard to do more than Glacier in a week because you want to stop and do some hikes. You might want to take a float trip. If you have 2 weeks, then I would recommend after you finish your circle around Glacier and you end back in Missoula, you head south down the Bitterroot Valley.
Okay.
The Bitterroot Valley is not much of a tourist. It doesn't have resorts or that type of tourist destination to it, but it has a lot of small towns with summer festivals. I recommend that you look on Vacation Rentals by Owner and find a cabin or a home where you can call that your headquarters for the week and then go on different side trips, explore all the different towns. We have Hamilton, which is the county seat. They have a great farmers market on Saturday. They also are home to the Micro Brew Festival in July. Beyond that, they're just hiking trails everywhere you look. And of course, Root Valley, where you could go fishing or you could hire an outfitter for a float. Or there are plenty of just little pocket parks where you can go and take your beach chair and a book and just sit by the shore and read.
So let's get back, and you mentioned two things. You mentioned hikes and float trips. Can I get you to give us your favorite one or two hikes or your favorite one or two float trips?
Okay. Well, my favorite float trip is just to get in the Bitterroot Valley and float down. Like, I guess you would maybe get in at Hamilton and float down to Stevensville. And they have put in and take out areas along that part of the river, and it probably would take you 3 or 4 hours.
And when you're doing a float trip, we're doing this in an inflatable raft or in a inner tube?
Inflatable raft.
Okay. There's a couple places in the East Coast that call the inner tubes a float trip, which is why I wanted to be clear.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't see many people going down on inner tubes, probably because the water's too cold.
Yeah, that's what I wondered.
I think it would be really cold.
And the reason why we call this a float trip rather than whitewater is we're talking about something that's not a adrenaline-filled experience.
Correct, correct.
Okay. And then a couple favorite hikes.
Well, one of my favorite hikes is Blodgett Canyon Trail. That's near Hamilton. And it doesn't gain in elevation for the first 3 or 4 miles very much. It goes along a creek and some big rock outcroppings. They actually call it the Yosemite of the Bitterroot. So that's a wonderful hike. And then I also like Kootenai Creek Trail. And all of these trails really go for about 14 to 20 miles up into the mountains. And they usually end at a beautiful scenic lake. But you have to be a backpacker to reach that lake. It's, you know, it's hard to go 14 miles in a day and come back out.
Mm-hmm. When did you know that Montana was home?
Oh, the minute I looked out my window and saw the Bitterroot Mountains. I mean, the view changes every 2 or 3 hours. The weather changes really quickly here. We can watch the clouds blow over and separate. And so, yeah, just the minute I looked out my window.
Now, most people, I think, who are listening have not seen the Bitterroot Mountains. Can you describe them for us?
Well, the Bitterroot Mountains are probably 9 to 10,000 feet in elevation. They're very rocky. Mm-hmm. They were a huge obstacle when Lewis and Clark tried to cross over to reach the Columbia River. And in fact, they camped in this area for a year, or maybe not a year, for a winter, for sure. And it took meeting some Nez Perce Indians and having someone lead them across before they ever really found their way over. So they're very rugged. Also, the Bitterroot Mountains are part of one of the largest wilderness areas of the United States. It's the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness combined with the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness. So there's just, actually it's 5 million acres of wilderness.
Okay. And the River of No Return is rather an ominous name there. Who is the most memorable person you've met since you moved to Montana?
I just met someone, and this isn't in the Bitterroot Valley, but this week, my husband and I went up to the resort at Paws Up, which is about 2 hours north of Missoula, to spend a little winter time up there. And we went on a sleigh ride. And Stephen, or maybe he's called Steve, was the driver of the sleigh and had raised the two horses that pulled the sleigh. And their names were Pete and Repeat. And he was the quintessential, if you ever think of a Western cowboy, it's Steve.
The cowboy culture in Montana is still a little bit alive and well.
It is not as much of the culture, of course, as it once was.
Sure.
But we have a favorite little restaurant that we go to for breakfast. And the owner's husband is a cowboy, and he comes in with his spurs and chaps on.
I'm guessing that only half the people listening know what chaps are.
Yeah, they're the big leather things that you wear on your legs to protect your legs when you're riding a horse all day.
I've mentioned this recently on the show. My grandfather was a cowboy, and we actually still have his spurs. Apparently, one of the members of the family does.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think my aunt for years registered his brand still because he had ranched for a while and still owned the, because you have to register a brand in the state. You're standing in the most beautiful spot in Western Montana. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Oh, that could be so many places. You would like to say it's just one place, but it's not. I mean, I could tell you it's at my house, and it is, but it's also one of the most beautiful spots is when you're in Mini Glacier,
okay,
and you hike to Bullhead Lake, and that's about a round trip hike of 5 to 6 miles. And so you're hiking back in there, and you feel like you're in Switzerland. You're walking across meadows, and if it's the time I did it was in early September, so there were still a few wildflowers left, and they're waving in the breeze, and the mountains are soaring above you, and you get to this lake, and it is like aquamarine blue. That's one of the most beautiful places, I think, in Montana.
Excellent. Before I get to my last three questions, what else should people know before they pack the bags and head to Montana?
It is an outdoor state.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be prepared. You don't just come and decide you're going to hike a trail and go out on it without knowing where that trail goes and knowing a little about how you behave on the trail. Are there bears around? What would you do if you ran into a bear? So you need to be prepared for outdoor activities. And you also need to know that life moves at a slower pace here. which is great if you just let yourself slow down and adapt to it. It makes a very relaxing trip.
Well, you can't just leave us there without telling us, what do you do when there are bears around?
Well, what you do is you make a lot of noise before you ever come to the bears. So a lot of people wear bear bells, but that is not really recommended. There's some theory that maybe the bears don't hear the bells, or they get so used to them that they don't pay attention to them. What you want to do is talk and sing. And I personally recommend that you don't hike alone. I just think in the wilderness, that's not a very smart idea. So if you're a solo traveler, you go to a state park or you go up to Glacier National Park and you do some type of ranger program. Mm-hmm. And of course, then there, if you want something different from that, you can always go with, there are lots of different tour companies who offer hiking tours, especially in Glacier National Park.
Do you have one or two that you would recommend that you had good experience with?
I do. Actually, my husband and I were with Road Scholar, okay, which used to be the Elder Hostel group. And we went on a 5-day hiking trip with them in Glacier National Park. We actually hiked 30 miles in a week. But the wonderful thing about the way they run their program is you have different choices during the day. So you might want to go on the long hike, or you want to go on the medium hike or a shorter hike. And they divide the group up that way. And of course, the other great thing is you're with other people who came to hike. So you have something in common from the very beginning.
And I was unfortunately reminded of the old joke when you were talking about people wearing bear bells. The story goes that the ranger would say that you should wear a bear bell to keep the grizzly bears away. And then the question later on is, how can you tell if there's a grizzly bear around? Is, well, you can find in the scat, in the droppings of the grizzly bear, little tiny bear bells.
That's true. That's true. And of course, the other thing about bears is when it's the most dangerous is if you happen to surprise a bear and the bear happens to have a cub.
Right.
That's when it's dangerous.
Right. Especially, obviously, if you're in between the bear and the cub, that's a very bad place to be.
Yeah. Very bad place.
Last three questions. One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Montana.
That slow pace of life when you're trying to get something done.
Okay. Can you give an example of that as you were adjusting from Phoenix, which is not as slow as based?
Right. And it was Tucson.
But
the same. No problem. Probably when we were having some work done on our house and they might answer the phone and they might get to you in a week or two. There's just no rush about anything, but we've learned how to deal with it.
Last two questions. Finish the sentence. You really know you're in Montana when what?
You really know you're in Montana when you have mountains all around you and a river running right beside the road.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Montana, Western Montana, in three words, what three words would you use?
Beautiful, peaceful, and inspiring.
Excellent. I'm going to recommend that for people who are now inspired to go to Montana, three podcasts that would go well with this, or three episodes. The one 2 weeks ago on Alberta, which is a really just over the border there, if you want to do a longer road trip. And then we have done podcasts both on Yellowstone, just south of where we're talking about, and one on Glacier. Donna, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and telling us about your newfound home and your love for Montana.
Well, thanks for letting me share it with everyone.
Where can people read more about your travels?
I write about active travel for baby boomers at myitchytravelfeet.com.
Excellent. And you have a newsletter that goes out as well, so people can always sign up for that and learn more about what you're doing.
I absolutely do.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris.
In news of the community, we've got some good feedback on last week's episode on the Russian Far East. I heard from Leonardo, who said, that took almost no time. I suggested an episode on the Eastern Russia a week ago. Great job, Chris. Now, I will point out, Leonardo, that it won't always happen within a week. For one thing, we already have the next month's shows recorded. And so the next shows after this one will be on the Sudan, and then Alabama, then Indonesia, and then Arctic Manitoba, and then Mazatlan, Mexico. So stay tuned for those shows. In other news of the community, I am serious about doing an amateur traveler trip this year, and I would love for you to come with me. We're talking about a small group trip, so probably only 10 to 14 people total. So it won't be all of you coming with me. I apologize for that. But if you go to amateurtraveler.com/trip, you'll get a private Facebook group where we're talking about the details. Just getting that conversation started, but please join that and help figure out where we should go and when.
amateurtraveler.com/trip. And with that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Remember, if you're looking for a new credit card and want to support the show, go to amateurtraveler.com/credit card. You can join the Facebook community. Leave any comments you have on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.